With our scripture this morning, we're going to read 1 Thessalonians 3, 3 through 5. Now, we have been up until, well, not the last week, because for the last 2 weeks I haven't preached. In fact, I had to tell the first service, I was nervous. I hadn't been in the pulpit for 2 weeks, and I had this nervousness, and I thought, whoa, I've forgotten what that was like. No wonder you guys don't get up here and talk. Okay, all right. So I'm going to read the black, and you're going to read the blue, and we're going to put a little gusto behind it, right? But the Lord is faithful. You and evil one. And sin the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do what we command. Now, this is our verse for today. Now, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the patience of Christ. Good. Thank you. Here's an interesting thought with that scripture, and that is patience leads to godly love, and godly love leads to patience. And so our goal, I'm going to give you the goal right up front where we're going. The goal is acquiring loving patience, not angry manipulations, but learning endurance through experiencing trouble in our lives. Now, when I first came to Colorado, Debbie and I got married, and I had a car that just wasn't working very well, so I bought a 1965 yellow GTO. If you'll give me the next slide. Thanks. Okay. Now, okay. Now, I know there's some motorheads here, okay? So I'm going to give you all the facts, okay? So I bought this GTO, and it was a 65. It had black interior, and I loved the car, and it was fast. It had a Hurst four-speed in it. Now, all of us from the older school remember what a Hurst force, because it had a guarantee that would either break your arm before it would break the linkage. And I didn't test it to see if that was true, okay? It had a 389 high-performance V8 engine, and the body was in perfect shape, but it had this one slight flaw. I could not get it to start on the starter. And so luckily, we lived on top of a hill. On both sides, the hill went down, and then our driveway went up. So I'd get in the morning, and I would run down the driveway and pop the clutch and get it running, because it would start up real easy on compression, but I just couldn't get the starter to work. And so this is a side issue, but Deb and I, we were pretty poor in those days, and so the Crest Theater down in Denver, for a quarter, you could see two features, okay? So we would save up two quarters, and we'd go down there. Well, there's only one parking place I could park, because it was an uphill park. And so I would back into it, and then when we came out, I just started on compression, we'd go home. But if we got down there, and this happened, if we got down there and somebody was parked in that spot, we had to just go home. Because it was too flat in the whole area, we'd have to walk too far. Anyhow, so I tried to fix that problem on several occasions, and it simply wouldn't work. I changed the cables, I shimmed the starter, I bought a brand new starter and installed it, and to this day, I have no idea why it wouldn't do, but it wouldn't work. And so there were several days after that I took hours working on that thing, crawling underneath it, and I would finally end the night with having an explosion of anger and throwing wrenches at the car, because it just would not work for me, okay? So later in life, I was analyzing that and thinking, now, why was I so angry, and why did I throw the wrenches? And I thought, you know, the problem is, and this sounds stupid, but I know some of you guys are going to get this, okay? I really kind of foolishly thought that if I threatened the car, it would obey me. Is there anybody beside me? Yeah, you know, isn't that crazy? It's just crazy. And it sounds funny, but, you know, bless my dad's angry heart. He taught me through example, get mad and get action, right? Well, if you get mad, you're going to get action. And in that plain language, it was nothing but sin, right? Nothing but sin. And then I was responsible, as I realized it, I was responsible for my own behavior, not what he taught me, Yes, by example, he taught me, but I was responsible. You know, Paul quotes Psalms 4:4. Be angry and do not sin. Now listen to this. Be angry, but don't sin. And then he adds to Psalms 4:4, do not let the sun go down on your wrath or your anger. In other words, let it be short-lived. Nor give place to the devil. Don't enter into sin with your anger. In fact, if you read Psalms 4:4, it goes on to say, meditate or ponder within your heart on your bed, be still, be silent. So instead of throwing a fit, you lay down and you think, okay, what am I doing here? Why am I so mad? It's kind of what David's saying. And you and I have observed bosses, right? Parents, friends, neighbors, that give place and go way beyond what is reasonable anger, and thinking that anger is going to get people motivated and drive them to do what they want them to do. And the problem is with that kind of anger, it's very, very short-lived, isn't it? You lose trust in the person that handles anger that way. In fact, in my family, when my dad would come home, we would look at his face and try to figure out, is today going to be a nice day or is today going to be awful? Depends on his day. I'm probably the only one that felt that, right? Yeah. You know, we want to run from people like that and get away as far away as we can unless it's us, right? All of us are born into an angry world because the world doesn't work the way we should. You know, when sin entered into the world, life on this planet no longer worked the way it should. And most of us, like myself, were born into a family with someone being angry, if not the whole family. And then we began to be schooled in inappropriate ways to demonstrate anger. And in my family, growing up, if you either yelled and said your mind and got severe consequences, or you just buried it and got depressed. There's no in between in that. And you may have experienced something similar in your family. And listen, I want to be real clear here. Anger itself is not the problem, right? Be angry, but don't sin. Anger itself is not the problem. It's an emotion. It's a God. God built it into us. And God was angry, right? There are times when God got angry because the people were so disobedient that he realized he had to do something about it. It's not anger, but it's how we manifest anger. It's how we demonstrate it. It's how we use it. Trying to control situations by yelling or creating fear, so that what we get, we can get what we want from mates or families or friends or on the workplace. Instead of using anger for what I think God built it for, and that was to patiently energize us and motivate us to lovingly address problems. That's what anger is for. You know, I look at that. The whole issue of controlling anger seems to be based on the false and silly notion that problems shouldn't occur. Right? We should not have any problems, right? And I can't wait for that day. It hasn't happened yet. But God uses problems in our life to help us grow, he says, in loving patience and godly character. Our verse today is the goal. And it says, now may, and when it says may, can you go to slide 11? There, thank you. Now may, it's a different than the normal one used in the scripture. And what it really means, it's a wish. Okay? Now may it happen that the Lord direct or lead your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Now, why would Paul use a wish here? Because if we don't surrender ourselves to God, it isn't going to happen. That's why it's up to us. It's up to our heart as to whether we're going to let God change. And so if we are open, now may it happen that the Lord Director lead your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So when I would get angry at my GTO, Debbie wouldn't talk to me for 2 or 3 days. Okay, now the sweet girl's down here, okay. She would talk to me she'd throw my plate of food down and go to her bedroom, you know, or whatever, and I would think, what is wrong with her, you know? I mean, really, but it ate at me, and I think, well, you know what? What's a few cuss words, right? What's a few wrenches? It certainly doesn't deserve silent treatment. And so finally, one day I said, honey, you know, why do you get quiet and this kind of thing? And she said, because I'm scared of you. Because you're so violent. I thought, violent? Well, first of all, I didn't like that word. But I thought, little old me, violent? And then I remember even thinking to myself, surely I didn't turn into my dad. But I did. I learned his expressions of anger and owned them and then had a hard time not following through with them. So I prayed a lot, took a journey into learning patience, into listening, because I began to listen to what my wife was saying and I listened to what God was saying, and eventually I was able to crawl out of that black hole. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Because a lot of you have been there, you know, when I listened to him, Debbie and I would even talk, okay, this is what you did, but is there another way you could have done this? And be able to look at it and look at what's the right way to do it versus what's the wrong way to do it. And that helped me so much. And I just pray that if you're in that anger cycle, that you will listen to your mate or friend or be accountable to be able to go back over what you did and then retrace what you could have done using godly love and the patience of Christ. Amen. I mean, that's really a neat thing to do. So let's think about this logically. Problems are going to occur. Now, was I clear enough? Yeah. Problems are going to occur. Experience says that the Holy Spirit, and obviously the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit uses those problems to begin to mold you. And we are powerless to escape the problems, but we can allow the Holy Spirit to change our life. And we face two choices: fight the problem with all of our being and eliminate as much as we can and what is possible, and then try to control it all and keep it at bay, and that's a fool's path. It just never works. Or we embrace them, we go through them, and we allow the problems to mature us and grow us, which, by the way, is God's plan. God sees us as using problems and pain and suffering as the change agent for growth and maturity, growing in patience rather than growing in rage. So I asked a couple if I could use them as an example. I want to use Steve and Deanna Bott. They're here this morning. In fact, they're in the audience somewhere. Where are you? Okay, there you are. Now, Steve had if you remember back, many of you, Steve had a motorcycle accident, and it broke his leg and was a mess, right? And when Steve got out of the hospital, he went home and he was sitting in his easy chair. And then Deanne's mother was in her easy chair, and Deanne was given her dialysis for 8 hours every day. In fact, that still occurs, right? And so she's doing 8 hours with her mom, plus taking care of Steve. Steve's kind of discouraged because he can't get up and help. Instead, he has to be the patient rather than the doctor, so to speak. And she's trying to feed him and keep house while the two are basically on bed rest. And while this is going on, she gets ready. Was it for your, when you trip, was it your daughter's? Yeah, so she, to do wedding planning, right? Yeah, and so she's going to go see your daughter. She steps over the dog gate, falls, and blows out her knee. So then we have Steve, Deanne, Mom, and brother has to come over and help. Okay, now, would you be a little discouraged with something like that? Oh, my gosh. And so I would go over to their house. I'd go a couple times I came over to their house, and what did they want to do? Oh, they wanted to have Bible study. They want to have Bible study and see if they could grow. And, you know, I thought about this, but they maintain good, at least around me. You know, well, the point is you're going to have all kinds of attitudes, right? And I looked at it, and did they get discouraged at times? Oh, yeah, they had very discouraging things happen, I'm sure. Why wouldn't they? And were they angry at times? Yeah, I mean, remember, anger is not the sin, is how we manifest it. And so, sure they were. But here's the difference. God said he would mature them through this experience. And I don't know whether you guys lost the vision at certain times. It seemed like certain times you would call, and because it was so much. That it would be hard to keep the vision going on, and they got a crash course on maturity. I mean, wouldn't you? And some of you have had nightmare experiences as well. But what I was really proud of the bots was that they used it for spiritual growth. In fact, while they're all sitting in their chairs, and I pulled up this folding chairs, and I'm looking at them all, they're trying to figure out how they can make a ministry out of this. How can they use their van to pick up people, that kind of thing, and actually using it for God's purpose rather than their own purpose. And the outcome was loving patience and godly love. They were dreaming about ministries.
Still are.
And still are. Thank you. Yeah. Isn't that how we want to embrace our problems? Really? You know what, would you do me a favor, encourage them by giving them a hand for going through that big hassle? Yeah. And that hand really is for all of you, because you aren't the only ones, are you? I mean, there's a lot of people going through some pretty horrendous things, and God is growing them and patience and maturity at a rapid rate if you allow God to do that in your life. Otherwise, you get like I was when we were first married. You just rage. And you think, this isn't fair. You know, like life's supposed to be fair. Okay. So let's read the process. Romans 3, 5, verse 3. And by the way, I have 5. It should be 3 through 5, not 5:35. Somebody told me about that. Okay. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only that, we also glory. We also brag. We are also confident in tribulations, in trouble. When the Bible uses tribulation, it means troubles. So let's just put that back together. And not only that, but we also are confident in troubles, knowing, not hoping, not wishing, knowing that troubles produce perseverance. Now, what's perseverance? Patience, endurance, consistency, inner strength, calmness, composure. The very thing that God's wishing for the Thessalonians and wishing for you too. Because patience is an act of God's love. Listen to this in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, is produced in us by the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which means long-distance patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know what? With patience, there's no law against it. Do you realize that? That's what Paul's saying. There's no law against patience. There's no law against loving. But there is a law against unruly anger. And I can remember when our previous associate pastor would say to me, he'd say, "Hey, don't pray for patience because you're going to get it." And what he meant was, you're going to get it the hard way. In other words, if you pray for patience, God's going to dump a bunch of stuff on you. Well, let me tell you something, folks. That all's coming whether you pray or not. Right? You don't have to pray for trouble. It's there, you know. And we're going to go through troubles and trials and situation after situation, problem after problem, pain after pain, until one day you arrive at a solid, proven, durable patience and character. That's what God's saying. And you're going to go through that thing. It just depends on what your attitude towards God's going to be. Listen, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter whether you pray for patience or don't pray for patience. It is going to come if you allow it. So then he says in verse 4, and perseverance or patience produces character. And the character is a tested and approved character in your life. It's tested and approved. And that comes through the problems. And it's the ability to choose the right, the righteousness, the faithfulness, and then that character turns into hope. Our hope for Jesus Christ coming back. So Paul tells them and us, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So since I haven't been straightforward with you, I'm going to be straightforward with you. There's no sense in beating around the bush. You will never find the godly love and patience you desire apart from that process. You hear me this morning? It's going to come by problems, and a lot of you are struggling. Uncontrolled anger will never lead to patience. Never lead to patience. Does everybody get that? You will simply stall out your growth if you're not willing to give God your heart and give him your unhealthy anger. So how about it in your life? Are you willing to give God that unhealthy anger and let it turn into patience and character and hope? Let me just give you a vision. What would your life look like if you were truly patient? Would it be different than what it is now? Paul says, and I repeat, there is no law against patient, no law against loving. But there is a law against anger to sin. Which will it be for you? Let's pray. Father, come this morning, because I know that for all of us, we have sin in our anger at times, and we get all wrapped around the axle about stupid stuff. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness. I think as a whole group, we ask for your forgiveness and help us, Lord, to endure suffering, endure the problems, and grow in patience and grow in godly love. That we might demonstrate to the world who a real Christian is. That we can help others grow and talk with others, and may we be the example we need to see in their life. May it be in our life. While heads are bowed, you may come this morning and maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you've been come looking for some kind of connection with God. I want to talk to you for a second. Bible said that we all have sinned and fallen short of God's standards, and that the wages of that sin is death, eternal death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he tells us how we can have that. In Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning and you've never taken that opportunity to really ask Christ into your life, I'm going to pray a little prayer and you can pray along with me, realizing you're going to ask him to come in and be the Lord of your life, just like that verse said. And you can just pray along with me, and the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord, the master, the boss of my life. I believe you rose from the dead, as that verse said, and because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. And while heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to give you a Bible if you need one. But here's what I'd ask you to do. I'd ask you to raise your hand up and put it back down so we can begin praying for you. Just raise your hand up, put it back down if you want to make that decision today. Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, we thank you so much. For all of us here who know you and have a relationship with you, we thank you that you're such a forgiving Father. You are so forgiving. And we're so blessed to have you in our life. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to teach us and grow us, and that we keep an open heart to learn from you through your word. And may we be like you. And may you be glorified this morning. We offer up praise to you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.